email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Stephen Ray joins us in studio, and Stephen is returning to the Gaiety Theatre in Crap's Last Tape by Samuel Beckett this October. You were there in January, were you? And there was such a demand that they wanted you back.
You couldn't move for them.
Stephen. We want you back. We want you back.
There was a waiting list of 1,000 or something. Right. You know, but it was a small theatre, you know. So we're in the big time now. it's a beautiful theatre, the Gaiety.
Yeah.
Just standing in it today, and really, you glance, you have the whole theatre in the whole auditorium in your control. It's great.
And this, for people who don't know, it's a one man show. You are crap, and you're there. It's a one act play, one man show.
I'm really crap.
Yes, you're really crap. It's a dangerous enough title, isn't it?
I think it's deliberately dangerous.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you met Samuel Beckett.
I did. Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about turnips in a moment, but let's talk about Samuel Beckett first.
Okay. You see, I was. I have to refer to the great Irish actors Pat McGee, and Jack McGowan, and Mary Keane as well. They transformed the idea of Irish character acting, because these were great existential actors, you know, and they knew how to do Beckett, and they did it brilliantly, and so they opened the door for a lot of other actors.
So, Crap's Last Tape was written with Pat McGee in mind.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway, there was a production of Endgame going on in London.
Another Beckett play.
Yes. And Jack would have been playing Clove in that. But sadly, he was no longer with us. And so they had to recast it. And they asked me to do it, which was very, very fortunate. So I was in the rehearsal room with Pat and Sam and Donald McQuinney, the director, and it was a steep learning curve, you know, because McGee talked, you know, I had that thing, and Beckett was just sublime.
Were you nervous?
Petrified. I was petrified, of course. This is the top of the heap, you know. I mean, this is the Nobel Prize winner. He wasn't quite the Nobel Prize winner then, but it's, you know, and he's transformed so much of how we perceive theatre.
Yeah. How do you sell Beckett to people who aren't into him?
Well, here's what I discovered at the project. All of Sam's remaining relatives came to see the show, and they loved it. The Irish people are no longer terrified about Beckett. They don't have any resistance to it. Mm. And because it's all good Irish stuff, you know, but because he writes so oddly and the structure is a bit different, that put people off more than the actual content, you know. And now they've given that up. They just get it.
They get it. And Crap is a man who, from the age of 39, recorded himself speaking about his life every birthday.
Yes.
And here he is, 69, listening back to the tape he recorded when he was 39.
Yes.
And trying to relive some of the things he's talking about as a younger man.
Yeah, that's what's happening, yeah.
And will you explain how you recorded yourself years ago and there wasn't a play in the offing?
Well, you see, I saw some productions of Crap's Last Tape, and I felt that the earlier tapes weren't sufficiently different from the person who was playing the older man. So I said, just for myself, I'll record this.
And which is brilliant, brilliant. A bit cocky. I'm going to be casting this in the future, I'm joking.
Well, I mean, no, I know. I mean, I might not have been if I hadn't been asked.
But you had it.
They did ask, and then I said, well, I have the earlier tapes, and Anne Clark, the producer, said, what?
Oh, that was a surprise to her.
Yes. Wow. She didn't. That wasn't why she asked me. She asked me because
you're a brilliant actor.
And she loved the tapes, and the director loved the tapes, and They're stuck with them now.
So is your voice sufficiently different, do you think?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just inevitably in a different, slightly different key, you know. And yeah. It's also good to listen to something that you're not quite sure what you were thinking about. And, you know, like the guy is, because he's completely taken aback by the man that he was earlier, you know.
So it is a play about reflection and probably mortality as well.
And the wrong choices in life.
Regrets.
It's very much about regret.
Right, reflection and regrets.
Yeah.
Can we get 3 hours? They always come in threes.
No, but it's a beautiful play and it's very funny.
Mm.
And
I love the part where he, Crap, is siding with his 39-year-old self, having a good old laugh at their 29 version of of course, at 29, cocky, going to change the world, loads of resolutions, loads of ambitions,
yeah,
none of which were realised.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He made all the wrong choices.
Yeah.
And he made the choice to do work instead of being in love with somebody, and he loses out in both.
Isn't that, yeah, because when you say that, like, I immediately I think of the late Gay Byrne, and he that's the thing he said to us, I remember, and it took me aback that he regretted how much he worked, that he thought he could have spent more time with his family, you know, that he gave too much to his job. When as a race do we, you know, we should all know it by now, shouldn't we? We've heard it often enough.
Well, I say this without... I knew Gay, you know. His family loved him.
I know. But he did say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He said that it was one of his regrets. And I've spoken to Kathleen about it since.
Yeah.
You know? But I just, when we hear that, and then yes, we do still. People do still, you know, devote themselves to.
Well, you spend a lot of time with your family.
I do.
Because I hear you on the radio talking endlessly about them.
I do, and I'm very lucky to be able to. Is that boring for you?
No, it's fascinating.
Wait, I'll tell you about Tom. He sprained his ankle the other day. He was playing basketball. He went up for a ball. He was pushed over in the air, came down on his ankle. So he's in a boot now and crutches. There you go.
Oh, my God.
I hadn't told him that, but there you go.
Oh, that's a pity. You know, I was only... Because, listen, I spend a lot of time with my... Two sons,
yeah. And, yeah. I know you do. Yeah.
I mean, I do, and it's just glorious. Mm. You know, I know that sounds ridiculous. But.
Yeah, and you can pick and choose. Do you pick and choose?
I pick and choose.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe a little less than I used to.
Yeah.
I was offered a sort of television thing that was set in the Troubles, and I just said, you know, I did things about the Troubles when there were the Troubles. The Troubles,
yes,
have stopped, so let's do something else. You know?
Uh-huh.
I
suppose from the outside looking in, people would have thought you were a perfect match for that.
For me and the Troubles?
Yes.
Really, would they think that?
But they might. I don't know.
I don't have a balaclava or anything.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, you've been coy now. You know what I mean?
No, I know.
So let's just veer away to turnips, for example, because you have a turnip to pick with me. Because we were talking about pumpkins the other day, and I know that we invented that whole thing, the Irish.
Yes.
Yes.
But it was turnips, not pumpkins.
Yes.
My sister, my eldest sister, who's now no longer with us, but she used to carve a pumpkin every Halloween, and it was a big job to
do. That's a tough job.
Yes. It's a tough job.
Yes,
you need
a
decent knife and everything.
Yeah.
But I remember it particularly because it's my birthday as well, Halloween, and which made it a very special event because there was all this terrific stuff going on.
Yeah.
And apple tarts with and bracks with...
Barn bracks
with stuff in them and all that.
Peas and rings and pieces of string.
Yeah.
I can't remember. There was coins in it as well.
Coins. So it was a good time. It was a lovely time. And, of course, the Irish did invent that.
Yeah, the jack-o'-lantern, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And because your birthday was on Halloween, did that bestow upon you some sort of, you know, mystery, or, you know, this is the child who was born on Halloween?
Sort of. Although my mother used to say there were fireworks the day you were born, son. So well, there's no fireworks anymore.
She
in
probably
this.
Didn't understand how it worked then. But how many was in the family?
I had three sisters.
Right. That was it. Older, younger?
Two younger and one older.
Right.
And my mother and my grandmother, five women in the house.
How do you think that's shaped you?
It certainly made me less masculine, I think. I do really think that, you know.
Yeah.
It was perplexed my father, rather. If he caught me feeding a doll at the dinner table, he'd think, what the hell?
It's interesting, though, because one of the things that has happened over the years is the families have got smaller.
Yeah.
So I have five sisters.
Right.
And it's not only the five sisters, but it's their friends as well. And they definitely do soften you a bit.
They do.
With smaller families, then you're less likely to have, just by numerical, you're not going to have, you're not going to be surrounded by, you know, five girls.
No.
And then if you go to an all-boys school.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you choose something that's in university that's predominantly male. You could end up at 21 with very little experience of the opposite sex. Oh, that's a worry, isn't it?
It is a bit of a worry, Ray. It really is, yeah. I don't know what you do about that.
Listen,
you have daughters as well, have you?
I have one daughter and one son, yeah.
Oh, sure, that's grand.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's a nice mix. A gentleman's family, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Now, I remember the first time we met, you were with your two sons. They were very young. You come in and you visited the den and the lads in Zig and Zag. And now it's all the way the world works. And of course, it's a tiny little world, particularly ours. So Zag's cousin, Dan, is a TV director, and you've worked with him, have you? Or you're working
with him?
Yes,
and I saw him the other night.
Right, yeah.
Because he directed me in a film called Fluent Dysphasia.
Right.
And the guys from Belfast, the Kneecaps, invited me to go to a thing that was on in to celebrate them in Armagh. And they wanted to screen Fluent Dysphasia because they watched it when they were in school.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I'll go, but we need to bring Daniel O'Hara.
Yeah.
Because, and they got on like a house on fire. And I said, Daniel should be directing your next piece.
Yes, yeah.
Have you seen the film Kneecap?
No, I haven't seen it yet. And I'm really interested in seeing it.
Oh, it's sensational.
Is it? Yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And it's so exciting to think that boys that grew up in the situation that they were in West Belfast and everything. So intelligent, so brilliant, hilarious.
I've heard only good reviews of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you need to see it in the cinema or can I wait till it's
out?
That
would help.
It would help, would it?
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
well, it's better to see any film in the cinema, isn't it? You know, but
yeah, yeah.
But listen, they're going to be nominated for an Oscar.
Oscar, yes,
and
yeah, yeah.
So
I better see.
I voted for that. I was part of the.
Are you allowed to tell people that you voted for?
Oh God,
Jeannie Mackers.
Oh Jesus, we're in trouble now. I don't know, but I everybody in the panel voted for them,
right,
so I'm not allowed to tell that.
Brilliant. No, it's out now.
But you know, they'll be doing big things.
Yes,
you know?
They will be things. And it's interesting because Dan has a connection to the Irish language as well. Because Dan's first short was You Ming
Is Anam
Dumb. Yes.
Yeah. Now that's hilarious.
That's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. It's if people don't know it, it's about a man from China who comes over to Ireland to learn how to speak Irish and then is a bit upset and disappointed when he finds out that everybody here speaks English.
Yes.
Yes, and that's...
I know, but then sure, he's in the pub
and
nobody knows what he's saying
in Irish. Yes.
And there's a man down the thing played by the lovely Frank, used to be the... Frank Kelly?
Kelly, yes. Yeah.
And he speaks Irish and he calls him over and they start talking in Irish and the guys in the pub say, I didn't know Joe could speak Chinese.
For that line alone.
It's worth it for that line alone. Yes, it was absolutely brilliant. No, well, I saw Daniel the other day. He's a fabulous guy. And I hope he does something with the
kneecap. So, Crap's Last Tape, you're on stage for, what, 50 minutes to an hour, is it? Just you?
Yeah, between 50 and an hour.
Yeah.
Me and a tape recorder.
Yes. This is what I was going to ask you. Because there's a lot of playing the tape. I know it's probably coming from somewhere else, but still, the timing has to be impeccable, doesn't it? Or does it?
There's a lot of clicky.
Yes, yes. It's sure a reel-to-reel. Yeah.
Yes, yes. You have to. There's some technical stuff in it that requires a skill which is not native to me.
But, right. But, you've had to learn, have you?
Yeah, I mean, but it's working well because there's a lovely girl upstairs, Kira, who's doing all that stuff.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And we just had a rehearsal today and she's...
And it's gone well.
It's great, great yeah. girl.
And you're bringing it to Australia after the Gaiety.
Yes, we've been sent to Van Diemen's Land for not being good enough, maybe. I don't know.
For being crap, Stephen.
It's for me, utterly crap.
Well, that's exciting. Just a quick question before I let you go, because such a body of work, an amazing body of work over the years. And
an amazing body.
And an amazing body. Well, I don't know. You're but here's the question I was going to ask you. So of all the stuff, does it change, you know, when you're thinking it back, and we all do, about all the stuff you've done, does your favourite one, does that change from week to week? Or is there something that you return to every time?
Well,
something in your head.
It depends. I mean, I did a play called Cypress Avenue a few years ago.
Same director of this.
That's right. Yes. Vicky Featherstone and Belfast writer David Ireland. And it's a very, very powerful play indeed. And I thought it was one of the best plays I'd ever done. So I would readjust around that.
All right. So that's,
I mean, there's the Frail plays. There's,
And the movies, Crying Game.
Yeah. I still think The Crying Game, Butcher Boy.
Yeah, brilliant.
They're brilliant. And that's, of course, down to Neil Jordan, you know, and his brilliance. Really.
And then, of course, then Breakfast of Pluto as well. And that's Pat McCabe is in there as well.
Yeah, amazing. Fantastic.
Irish talent.
Yeah.
Well, great to see you. Monday, October 21st to Saturday, October 26th. So it's a short run to satisfy the demand that was created back in January. Crap's Last Tape by Samuel Beckett, starring Stephen Ray.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.